The Blast from Our Past Network.
Journey to an age of great kingdoms. An age of awesome magic. An age of terrifying evil. Where one man sought the key to the ultimate power. He was the man they called Deathstalker.
Talking Back.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Talking Back. This week, we are going to be looking into what happens when the warrior Deathstalker is sent by a witch on a quest to find a magic chalice, a magic amulet, and a magic sword, two of which are already held by a wicked sorcerer. That's what's in store for everyone today as we cover Deathstalker from 1983. Dean, welcome.
Hey, Tim. What does happen?
Those things happen. Not a lot else.
Okay. Yeah, this, I don't really know what happens in this one.
This isn't a bit, but I had a dream last night that we started recording for this episode, and you really, really liked this movie. And then I woke up and I'm like, that is not going to be the case at all.
It's not going to be the case. It's the complete opposite of that, Tim. It's the complete opposite.
Yeah. There's no way you liked this movie. There's no way.
Oh, I hated it. Hated it.
Did you watch it twice? I figured you'd only watch it once.
I almost didn't even watch it once. Yes, I watched it once. I did not watch it twice. I will not be watching this one again.
Yeah. Nor will I.
oh, man.
Yeah. You know what? This movie, Deathstalker, this was one of those iconic VHS box arts that I used to see all the time at the rental store. And I always wanted to get it, but for whatever reason, I never got around to renting this one. But when I think of like VHS covers from my childhood, this is in the top 10 of just like, holy crap. Look at that one. Yeah. Wow. That looks so cool. It's this, some sort of a monster, like carrying this beautiful woman. And then there's a man with long blonde hair and muscles and a sword ready to get her back. And I just thought it was like so interesting.
The poster looks great. The description sounds interesting. Like, I could totally tell that this would be one that you'd just be like obsessed with seeing on the shelf and just like, oh, one day I'm going to get Deathstalker. And then it just never happening. Yeah, it definitely looks and sounds better than it is.
Yes, for sure. I'll tell you what, though. If I did rent this movie, I would have got in some big time trouble from the parents if I got caught watching this. This would have been like this would have been the worst ever.
It's so weird. This movie's so weird. It's like if you strip out all of like the nudity and the sex, it's almost for kids. And then you add that in, it's just so wild that those things are mixed together.
Yeah, it's a really weird movie. There was just a plentitude of boob. The first time it happens, it's like a girl's boob kind of falls out, and I'm like, oh, whoops, her boob fell out. And then it's just like they're flopping all over the place.
Yeah, it's just
all the time.
It was just all in bad taste. That's the problem. It's not that like it was just all over the screen. It's just that it was everywhere and in bad taste. I got tired of it. I got really tired of it.
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, I understand what they're going for here, you know, sort of like the medieval times thing where men are powerful and all they do is, like, kill and pillage and they take what they want. I get that this movie's trying to convey that, but you can do that with one scene. Like, yeah. Conan
great.
Comes out a year before this. This movie is clearly made because of Conan, yeah, and the success of Conan. Even in Conan, they had like a couple scenes, and I thought that was unnecessary. I thought like one scene will do it for me. I'll understand the context that you're going for. This movie's just like, oh, they must have already forgotten that the men rape the women back in this time period. So let's show them it again and again and again and again and again and again. And that's not an exaggeration. No, I'm low on the rape count in this movie.
Yeah, like that should be the synopsis, because that's what the movie is mainly about. It's not really about that cool stuff that you said at the beginning. It's about everything else.
Well, I mean, it's funny you should mention that. On IMDb, they have like tags for the movie.
Okay.
And
yeah,
there's like a couple hundred, but the top five are listed and you can see them before you have to click further and see more.
Okay.
Those top five tags are attempted rape, breasts, bare-chested men, which is a bit of a twist, man turned into a woman, and yeah, nipples.
Right. Okay. So yeah,
that's a pretty accurate synopsis for this movie.
Yeah, except for bare-chested men. There's actually like shockingly a small amount of bare-chested men in this movie.
I feel like the men like did a pretty specific job of covering up their chest for
the
most part.
They were covering up a lot. There was not a lot of male chests in this movie.
Even the main character, like the guy that you've gotten to replace, yeah, not replace, but pretend that he's Arnold, he's wearing like a garment over his entire upper body for, yeah, more than half of the movie.
Yeah, 70% of the movie, he's fully covered.
Yeah, he doesn't like bring out the gun show until like later on into the movie. And I was like, that is great restraint for a movie where every woman you see, her boob is flopping out.
Yeah.
That's what's going on this week, everybody.
Chalk it up to great restraint.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is a movie I always wanted to see. But yeah, recently I was speaking with someone who mentioned Deathstalker and Deathstalker 2. And they had said that 2 is just absolutely wild. They didn't even mention 1. It was just like 1 was a normal movie, but 2, you won't believe 2. So I wanted to do this so we could actually just get to 2. I didn't just want to jump to 2.
Oh, great.
We needed some footing, but I really want to do 2. And beyond that, there is somehow a 3 and a 4.
Great.
I don't even know if those are
available.
Those
weeks. Tim, I was considering just quitting the podcast before today so I wouldn't have to talk about this.
I definitely was getting those vibes when I was watching this movie. I was like,
I'm out.
Dean might
quit.
Just not want to cover this. He might just say like we shouldn't do this movie.
Yeah.
But no, we're gonna not talk about all the shitty stuff, and we're gonna talk about some of the fun stuff that actually did occur.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a handful of things that are good sword and sorcery things in this movie.
There are a handful.
Yeah. Maybe.
Here's the thing. There's lots of fun ideas in this movie. Like, let me throw some terms out at you here. Okay. A magic sword. That's cool. Sorcery. Lots of sorcery. A magic amulet. A magic chalice. A witch. Weird creatures. Very weird creatures.
Great.
A giant. Shapeshifting. And heads are getting popped off.
Lots of heads, actually.
Something we'd love to see. You would think, after hearing all those things, that would be grounds for a really good sword and sorcery movie, but it was not.
It was not.
Those are just things in the movie that are really cool ideas that the movie can't really seem to grab a hold of and do anything with.
Yeah.
I bet this movie on paper read very well, except for all the, you know,
right,
the rapey stuff. But I think they probably were like, here's what we want to do, and this sounds really cool. And their execution of it was just so, so lame.
Yeah, you even forgot, like, tournament. There's a fighting tournament in this. We love fighting tournaments. And still, just like,
I didn't forget.
Okay. Okay.
I chose not to include.
Okay. Okay. And then I'll leave it at that.
Was not thrilled with the tournament. We'll get there.
No. Wasn't not thrilled.
Wasn't thrilled. Heard tournament.
Yes.
Got hesitantly optimistic.
Yes.
And then had everything crushed as I watched the tournament and realized, why would I have expected anything different than a shitty tournament?
Yeah. You're like, if we can just get to that tournament, I think I can forgive some stuff. And like, oh, no, never mind.
Can't wait for the tournament. Oh, damn. The tournament's just like the rest of the movie.
Bad.
Now, released in 1983 with a budget of $450,000, it makes $12 million at the box office.
What the hell? That's, yeah. Everyone's just wants that sword and sorcery. Like, everyone's like, Conan? Great. I want it.
Yeah, this is the movie, I bet, where people walked in with a giant smile on their face because they're like, yeah, more Conan. And then they walked out and they're just like, I need to rethink my life. This
they're
is,
like, do I want more Conan? Do I like Conan?
What am I doing here? What are we doing? What is this?
Something felt wrong there.
I don't think the movies are for me anymore. Yeah. I'm not a movie guy.
No more movies. I'm off movies. This one, if any movie will turn you off movies, it's this one.
Yeah, this one. Yeah. It was written by a Howard R. Cohen, who wrote several movies you've probably never heard of, like Barbarian Queen 2, The Empress Strikes Back.
Okay, never heard of that.
See what he did there?
Oh, yeah.
Do you, or are you just saying it?
No, I have no idea.
It's Barbarian Queen 2, The Empress Strikes Back. It's the second film in the series, and it's about...
The Empire Strikes Back.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah.
And then, I think you'll catch this one. This one's a bit... Okay. This one's pretty easy. Okay. He also did Saturday the 14th.
I've heard of that. You know what? Okay. I saw Saturday the 14th show up on, like, Tubi or something one day, and I was like, I gotta watch that. I gotta watch Saturday the 14th.
I'd probably avoid it.
I will not. I will now not. I will definitely not be watching it.
Yeah, well, this one was on Tubi, so maybe you watched this one and it recommended it. But hey, anybody who wants to watch this movie, free on Tubi.
Don't do it.
All you have to do is put up with watching the movie. That's it. Now, he does a sequel to Saturday the 14th. Saturday the 14th Strikes Back. He's going to the well.
You know what? He's good with the names of movies.
No, come on. How do you miss the opportunity to go from Saturday the 14th to Sunday the 15th?
I know.
That's your logical sequel.
Yeah.
You can just keep going through the days of the week. No, he doesn't. Then we have The Young Nurses.
Okay.
I worry. After watching this, I worry for those young nurses.
Definitely.
And then the last one I'll mention is Vampire Hookers, which, who knows? Maybe.
I feel like I've heard of that movie, too.
That one might be okay.
That one might be okay. It's hard to say.
Yeah, it's hard to say. Maybe they're all good.
Well, that I don't believe that.
Now, it was directed by James Spartalatti, and he only directed two movies.
Okay,
No one's surprised.
Okay.
Nobody's,
what's the
nobody
other one?
Surprised. The other one? I have no idea.
Okay.
I was like, do I even mention the director?
Just saying that last name was hard enough.
I'll mention him, and I'll mention that he did two movies. Surely I'm not looking up the other one.
No.
Now the music. Here we go. The music definitely fit this dark fantasy genre. But was also playful when it needed to be. All around, dude, the hero of this movie is the music. It's the score. It's amazing. I really liked it. You may have been so offended by the movie, you didn't even hear music. But I will let you know, Dean, the soundtrack for this movie is excellent.
Okay. I might go give it a listen. I might see if I can listen to it again. I do remember the music. I do remember changing for different scenarios for sure, and setting the mood. I remember it mood setting. So yeah, maybe it can be the hero of the movie. I'm okay with that.
It carries the movie. Yeah, for
I'm okay
sure.
with that.
You take that music out. Whoa, this is going to be a real problem to get through.
Yeah. Then you just have those grunting and moaning sounds all by themselves without music, and that's tough. Ooh,
those were weird sounds.
So bad.
They weren't even like grunts. It was
what noises did they tell him to make?
It was like, with a grunt, ask her if she likes it.
It was the Tim Taylor.
Huh? It was so fucking weird, dude. As it was happening, that's what I was thinking. I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? Why are those the sounds that he's making?
Yeah. And they used them not only in sex scenes, but they used them in other scenes where he would be like crawling through something.
Yeah.
And same fighting. Noises.
I heard one or two during a fight.
Yeah.
Oh, what the fuck? Now, lots of action in the movie, which is always fun. Unless it's terrible action, and then it's not so fun. And that's what we have here.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like they practiced all that much.
No.
Not a lot of choreography. You could have easily slid me in there, and I would have performed just as well.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
One fight, the camera was just entirely on Deathstalker. Like, they didn't even show the other guy. So I guarantee you he was just fighting the air. And then we just record him fighting the air, and that's one of our scenes.
Yeah.
Some guys would just, like, during the fight scene, they'd just be holding or hugging each other. That's it.
Those were good moves.
Like, I'm gonna hug you to death?
Yeah, they were wrestling, I think. I think they were doing some jiu-jitsu moves, some wrestling.
It wasn't even that tournament fight where they go full-on WWE style. This is just, like, this might have been that bar fight or whatever, the brothel big fight.
Brothel
There's a
fight,
couple big dudes just hugging.
Yeah. Yeah. One time a guy, a Death Stalker, swung his sword 10 feet above someone's head, and then you got a shot of their head being lopped off. So that was good too.
Yeah. Well, it's a magic sword, Dean.
That is actually true. So never mind. I strike that from the record. It's good.
Yeah, we're good there.
I did like the head being lopped off, but I remember being like, oh, wow, he missed like a lot there. That's too bad. And then a head just went flying. So, I guess he didn't miss.
The head pops off, like the popping offs in the movie that we get. I think we get three of them.
Yeah.
Those are bad. Like, how do you screw up a head popping off? Like, they literally show the head flying through the screen at supersonic speed for like maybe 2/10 of a second. That's how long you have to see it. I guess the prop was so bad that they're just like throw it through the picture as fast as you can, and hopefully people understand.
It might be a football.
It could have been a football with hair on it, and we can't tell because it's going so fast. But they set it up with a sword being swung, and then this really quick clip of something flying through the screen. Wow. And you're like, that dude's head just popped off, but they never show you the body. They never show you the head.
No.
But I still respected the effort.
Of course. We were able to put it together that a head was popped off. So,
we got it.
Yeah, I get it. Good job.
It worked. Yeah, good job. Good job. Now, this is the story of Deathstalker. Dean, you wondered what occurred in this movie.
Yes, yes.
I'm going to break it down for you.
Thank you.
And it's going to take mere moments to get through all of it.
Right.
Deathstalker is the handsome, sword-wielding musclehead who seems to not even want to be in this movie.
True.
He's got that Han Solo vibe of like, not only do I not want to be here, I don't belong here. You don't want me here. I should go.
Yes, I definitely got Han Solo vibe from him. Also, because his friend in this movie looks exactly like Luke Skywalker.
Yes, okay, thank you. It looks like it could have been like Mark Hamill's older brother.
Definitely. Yeah, for sure.
It was amazing.
It was amazing.
Now, Deathstalker encounters a witch who tells him he needs to unite the three powers of creation. Munkar, the evil sorcerer, already has two of them. He has the special Amulet of Life and the Chalice of Magic. And he's already made a play for the third, which is a magic sword. So Deathstalker needs to get to the magic sword first and then use that to get the other two items from Munkar and use them to defeat him. Along the way, he'll encounter friends and foes. He sleeps with many women against their will. I do think one of them consented. And
maybe,
as mentioned before, many, many boobs fall out of their shirts and yep. dresses. So all of that sounds fun, but it wasn't all that fun.
No, it wasn't really fun. I did want to get to sort of the tournament stuff. I wanted to get through the middle section of the movie, which is all about just showing how seedy and bad this place is. I don't like Deathstalker just because he's not really a hero in this movie. Like you said, he doesn't even want to be in this movie. He like tells many people he's not a hero. He doesn't do heroic things. So I'm like, I don't have anyone to cheer for. So I really just want to see the tournament, and I want to see kind of these elements at play. I like the idea of three magical items. Once they come together, it's ultimate power. This is like this goes through a lot of stories, have things like this, especially fantasy type things. They got magical items, and if you bring multiple magical items together, it's this extra power. Loved the idea, and then it just never quite gets there. And even when you're getting to the point of like bringing magical items together, I'm confused. I'm never quite able to wrap my head around it. I'm just like, this isn't really paying off like I thought it would.
Totally. Yeah, the three magic items. It's like the Triforces, you know?
Exactly, like, yeah.
You bring the three together, you have all the power, but the bad guy's got a couple, the good guy's got one. Now, Munkar, the evil sorcerer, I really liked this guy. He was my favorite character in the movie. I liked the music first, and then I liked him. But he was really good. Like, they did a really good job with just, like, the evil sorcerer in him. He really gave me vibes of that dude, I can't remember his name, from the Seventh Voyage of Sinbad. Do you remember that sorcerer?
Okay, cool.
Like he's bald, dressed in black. I really liked him, and I liked the powers that they gave him. He had some really interesting powers. He would, for fighting sequences, he'd like shapeshift into like a younger warrior type of guy, Kang.
Yeah.
And then he's like, he's that character, but I thought they were going to do way more with that in the movie. You see him for a second at the beginning, and then you see him for a couple seconds at the end, and that's it. I thought, you know, you got a miss here. You could have done so many more cool things with this dual character here, but...
Yeah, I like Munkar. Definitely, I would agree with you, best character in the movie. I don't know if it's the very first scene you see him, if it's his introduction, but it's like really quick. They just kind of quickly show him sitting at like a table, and he's got this like worm pet thing, like this gross worm pet. And
Little Harold.
That's his name? Little Harold?
Yeah, one of the guys mentioned it. Little Harold.
Okay, so he's sitting at a table. He's got Little Harold, and it's such a quick shot. I had to go back and watch it three times, and every time I went back to watch it, I saw something new. So the first time, I'm just like focused on this tattoo that's on the side of his face. You know, it's like on the side of his face, it goes, runs up his head. It's kind of like
wavy
lines. A scorpion. Okay, I was going to say I thought it was a spider, but right, the tail goes down by his mouth. Yeah, so he's got a scorpion side of his head. Looks awesome. And then I was like, oh, wait, I kind of got out of the side of my eye. I saw Little Harold. So I was like, wait, I got to rewind. You see this like great gooey worm thing, and it's eating a hand. It's eating like hand.
It eats fingers and eyeballs.
Fingers and eyeballs. So that part, that whole part, I was like, okay, there, right? That little clip right there, so far, best part of the movie. The Little Harold eating fingers is incredible.
Yeah, so first of all, I think the name is Little Harold. Maybe Little Harry or something, but I'm pretty sure it's Harold. Anyways, that reminded me of that slug from Freaky Stories, just like on a more nightmarish level.
That's exactly what I was thinking, yeah, which is why I probably loved him.
The first time he popped up, I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. He's like in a little like treasure chest, and then Munkar opens it up and feeds him these things. But then as this movie's really good at, it goes way too far with that. And then they end up showing us this like teenage boy who Munkar's taking the body parts from and feeding to this creature. Like you see this boy is like missing an eyeball, still alive.
That was actually disgusting.
Yeah, it was really disgusting. He's like he's chained up to like a pole, and that's just where he lives. That was really messed up, dude. I was like, it went from me thinking that this creature was cool to being really uncomfortable with this creature and what it's doing.
Yeah.
And this poor boy that is being tortured by Munkar.
Yeah, fucked. Because they haven't been showing a lot of action, but they've been doing a lot of like makeup stuff. And so just to see like this guy, this boy's like missing eye, and it's so grotesque, it like definitely puts you off and makes you feel bad for sure for this boy. And yeah, maybe not on board with Little Harold after that.
No. I really do like Munkar's evil plan, though, because we've mentioned this tournament already. He sets up this tournament because what he says is he wants to find the most powerful warrior because he's going to die soon. And whoever wins this tournament will take his place, will take his power, his riches, and basically become him. But his real plan is he wants all the top warriors to come together, kill each other until there's only one left, and then he'll kill that winner so there's nobody left to oppose him. So that, I thought, was a pretty elaborate plot for this movie. I wasn't expecting it to really go that deep, and I think that was pretty fun. That is sort of like shades of Duel to the Death and what that underlying plot is in that movie, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, this is the goofy, fun type of like villain plot that I want in a sword and sorcery movie. Like, some of them can get pretty serious, which is okay too if you know they're pulling it off. A serious setup here for the bad guy would be fine. But this type of movie needs this exact thing: this goofy plot where the guy's just setting up a tournament so they all kill each other, and then he just has to kill one instead of like having to kill a bunch of warriors that might oppose him. So great idea. Again, execution isn't great, but I like the idea.
I don't even think the execution of his stuff is all that bad. I think it's mostly the execution of everybody else's stuff. Like in the movie other than him, their stuff is kind of boring and shit. But I think they did a really good job with all of Munkar's stuff.
Yeah, I guess a little bit more. Maybe a little bit more from his point of view of why he feels vulnerable, because isn't he immortal? Can he not be killed?
I think he was sort of immortal because he had two of the three items.
Right, but if he ever loses them, then he could be vulnerable. So this is like a way to ensure that. Okay.
I think with all that power, you would still always kind of be worried that some great warrior might come along and be after you because of that. So what better way to sleep easy at night than by defeating all the great warriors?
Yeah. Well, especially if that power comes not from you, but like if that power comes from like magical objects, then that makes sense to me that you'd be wanting to do everything you can to protect that.
Yeah. So they don't really get into it. Like, he's a sorcerer, so I assume he has some magic powers of his own, but then these magic items also grant him more power. These are things that the movie could have elaborated on, and it would have been really, really cool instead of just spending all this time being like so horny, so overly horny. I would have loved to have digged into these items a bit more. The magic sword seems to give Deathstalker additional powers at times, but they just sort of show him doing something he shouldn't be able to do, but they don't talk about it or they don't mention it or anything.
Yeah, the one thing that's really confusing about him, it's before he gets the sword, he just blows on some sticks and they catch on fire. And that's really weird.
You can't do that?
I have never been able to do that. This might be something in this universe people can just do. When he's with Deathstalker, they make a comment in this movie that when he's holding that sword, so the magic sword, when he gets it, when he's holding it, he can't be killed. So that is like maybe a property of these magical items, that when you have them, it has to be like literally in his hand. If it's literally in his hand, he can't be killed. So that's a really big bonus for the tournament. That's for sure.
Well, that's why he won the tournament.
That's why he wins. I guess you're allowed items.
Spoiler.
Like that.
Spoiler alert.
I didn't think he was going to win.
Yeah, I didn't think so either. So many hurdles to overcome.
Yeah.
Those dudes who were WWE style wrestling, They ended in a double count out. Did you see that?
I saw that. Yeah.
They like suplexed each other silly and they were both lying on the ground and nobody got up. And all I'm doing is I'm in my head, I'm picturing a ref there counting them both like,
yeah,
1, 2, 3, and nobody got up. And they both got eliminated from the tournament because nobody could get up at the count of 10.
I think they're both dead. And yeah, they're both eliminated. That's it. And then the person who was supposed to face the winner, I guess, just gets a free pass.
Gets
free
a
pass to the next round.
Well, that would have been Deathstalker because Deathstalker only showed up in the final.
Final. He just fought once in the final.
He was just watching until the final and then he's there.
He just kept getting buys. Yeah.
Who does he fight in the final?
Pigman.
A Gamorrean.
Yes. Of course.
What the hell? This movie has a guy who looks just like Luke Skywalker and a Gamorrean.
That's actually incredible. That's very true.
You didn't realize that it was a Gamorrean?
I didn't like put that together. No, I just was like, it's a Pigman. Who, I mean, Pigman's the most comedic in this movie. He does the funniest thing in this movie.
Oh, hell yeah, he does. Why don't you tell everybody about it? Because I legit laughed my ass off. I was like,
I laughed.
Did that just happen? And yeah. That is so fucking funny. It was so good.
It's a movie I'm considering turning off at this point. It's a movie that I would turn off if I wasn't doing it for the podcast. Yet this moment did make me chuckle. I thought it was pretty funny. There's a big brawl happening at this brothel. Everyone's just going crazy, fighting everyone. And this pig man, he's sort of the big brute here, and he's fighting a guy, and he's punching him, and he's punching him. And then he realizes that, like, his hand is getting tired, or hurt, I guess. His hand's getting hurt from punching him. So he looks around to something else he could use. There's another guy there. He rips his arm off, and then he starts beating the guy with that arm that he ripped off. And this was like a nice touch of comedy.
That guy was literally just walking past.
Yes,
and
as yeah,
he's walking
fighting,
past,
he
grabs his arm and rips it off his body and starts
wasn't expecting it.
Beating the guy with it. That was an excellent moment.
It was funny. It was funny.
I liked Pigman. I thought he was great. I liked Munkar. And then it sort of falls flat with all of the rest of the characters. And there's so many of them.
Yeah.
They have like so many like important characters that you think something neat is going to happen with, and nothing happens. I would say the biggest example is this guy, Salmaron. Salmaron has been cursed by Munkar and is now a hideous cave monster.
Right.
And Deathstalker encounters him in this cave. And I really like this character, this Salmaron in the cave.
Same. Yeah, he's good.
He was really interesting. He was like,
yeah,
he was pretty witty. He's like this hideous beast, but he's like, I used to be very handsome, just like yourself. I used to be very powerful and handsome, and I was cursed into looking like this. But then he was like goofy and like kind of like squirrely in a funny way, because this is where a giant... There's a giant that comes in the cave or lives in the cave,
right.
And Deathstalker has to fight this giant off. This is where he gets his magic sword, I think. But like the Salmaron was making some funny like jokes and comments as everything was going on. So I really liked him. And I'm like, cool, this is going to be Deathstalker's sidekick through this movie. It turns out that he sort of is. But as soon as they walk out of the cave, he turns from this super fun, like interesting creature character back into a human, and then he's just this, he's not like a powerful guy, he's just like a dorky looking dude, and then he's just around in the movie and never does anything.
No,
he's like the guy who's just there in the corner when things are happening, and they'll cut to him and he'll just be like, he'll like look around the room a little bit and then like lift up his shoulders like, I don't know.
Yep.
Or he'll be like, you'll see him, they'll cut to him and he'll be sitting there and then he'll just slowly kind of like duck himself under a table or something. But he barely has any lines. He barely does anything, but they show him another like, you know, 15 times in the movie. So that could have been a great like team up. I would have.
Yeah.
I stick with the weird cave creature Have him with Deathstalker. I think you could have a lot of comedic things from that. But total waste of a character.
Total waste. It's baffling, really. Have, like, even if you want to turn him into a human because you really can't have this puppet thing around the entire movie, that's okay. Like, you can still have him say all that stuff, and then when he, like, comes out of the cave and he turns into a human, make him, like, a wormy, like, Brad Dourif-like character who's all, like...
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
he's still got that vibe. You know, he's still got that creepy little vibe. And so then it's still funny that he lied about being, you know, this super handsome warrior guy. But then he can still be that really weird character alongside with Deathstalker and, like, yeah, be a little bit more like that. Be like the sleazy guy who's getting all the information or whatever. Like, he can still be used, but they just turn him into this actual just like regular Joe type guy who's just standing in the frames. You forget about him until they, like, make him fall into a pool or something. You're like, oh, yeah, that guy. I haven't seen him in 15 minutes. Like, it's
but they keep
such
showing
a waste
him.
Of a character.
They keep showing him. Every 10 minutes he shows up but doesn't do anything. You literally could have cut him out right after his sequence at the beginning, like within the first 10 or 15 minutes. You could have cut him out. The movie would be no different. Absolutely no different.
No. He didn't do anything.
Kyra is... a character that I liked for a little bit. She's like this powerful woman warrior, but they end up like killing her off really early on. So I was really surprised they decided to have a powerful woman character in this movie for the way they're portraying most of the women. So I thought that was cool. And I wanted to see so much more out of her. I wanted to see her helping more. She would have been a great addition to the tournament. But they kill her off in some stupid, shitty way before the tournament even happens. And it's like, why did you take the time to build her up as a strong female character and then just kill her off? It was so stupid.
So weird. Up to the point where before we see her, the only women we've seen in this movie are women that are being raped. That's the only thing we've seen in this movie. So then this warrior comes cloaked and I'm like, oh, cool. This is going to be a woman. Okay. Okay, this movie is going to actually make a main character that's a woman. That's good. Good job, movie. And then, yeah, killed so early on. It's like, yep, okay, that's what I thought you would do. That's what I expected out of you. It's so strange. So strange. Why? Yeah, exactly. Why even just put her in the movie if you're going to kill her right away? It's because of every other character you have in the movie that's a woman, that's what you're doing, so might as well do it with her too. It's just, yeah, it was very disappointing, for sure. She didn't even get to be in the tournament. It was very disappointing.
I see her in this movie, and I immediately think to Valeria from Conan. You know, this great character that we loved so much. Yeah. And I think that's what we're getting here, and we don't. So I don't know if they were taking the cues of, like, here's a powerful woman, but she's going to die anyways. So they do the same thing, but Valeria earned her death. She was a great character in the movie.
Yeah.
This character didn't earn anything, just like was on her way to earning her death. And then they killed her like way too early. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean, man.
You feel me?
I feel you. I did not like it. Didn't like it.
Yeah. Well, hey, what character did you like best? Yeah, and you have to choose one.
I have to choose one. The character I liked best, I think, is the sorcerer, the bad guy. I think that is the character I liked best. Yeah.
I'll mention a couple others here. There's a Codeal, a beautiful woman.
Okay, yeah.
I wrote her name down in my notes. I wrote all the characters' names down because as I was watching the movie, you know, I wanted to, like, take some notes about the characters and say some stuff about them. And she is in it a lot, would you say?
Yeah. A lot.
She's one of, she's maybe the third main character in the movie.
Yeah. They're, like, Deathstalker is being, like, kind of sent to save her. He doesn't accept that job, but she's being set up way early in the movie. So then when you actually get to her there, she's a main part of the movie for sure.
Yeah. She has a lot of screen time. Beautiful woman. Yeah. When the movie was done, I hadn't written a single thing down beside her name because she doesn't do a single thing. I had something for every character except her because she's there doing nothing.
Yep. She doesn't do anything.
So what I ended up with is she's beautiful, but there's nothing to say about her.
That's all the movie wants. Like, she's in a lot of scenes, and she's naked in all of them. Like, that's the only reason they wanted to put her in this movie.
They wanted a beautiful, gorgeous woman just as, like, eye candy. Yeah. But her role was very much like the Salmeron guy. Like, they'll just cut to him, and he's, like, doing the things I said. Yeah. Same with her. They'll cut to her, and she'll be, like, pretending to be afraid, or some dude will have his hands all over her or something. Or there was that one scene where Munkar turns one of his men. He has the power of shapeshifting.
Mm-hmm.
So he turns like one of his men to look like her so that she can go and seduce Deathstalker and kill him.
Yeah.
And then that made for some really uncomfortable vibes because they really played up the idea that this guy who was turned into a woman was still very much a guy and didn't like being turned into a woman, but now had to go and seduce this other guy. And then, of course, Deathstalker, like he does with all the women, he's like fondling her and handling her.
Yeah, and she is saying, no, Tim, gotta be honest. Gotta be honest. I fast forward through that scene. It was so long.
It was so uncomfortable.
I couldn't take it anymore. I just hit the next, you know, the plus 15 seconds, plus 15 seconds until it was over. And I had to hit that button way too many times.
Yeah, that's all good. I dug in. I was like, this is really uncomfortable.
Let's figure this
out. Let's see if I can make it all the way through. Because I wanted to do what you did, but I'm like, I'm going to stand firm here. I want to see. I want to put myself through the uncomfortable ringer here.
Yikes.
So there was her. And then the other person to mention is Ogris. And he's like this, like, this is the Luke Skywalker brother, older brother.
Right, yeah.
He's just, like, very handsome warrior. When we first meet him, his outfit was mind-boggling to me. He's got, like, his chest just below his nipples and up is completely covered.
Yeah.
And then his abdomen is wide open, showing his abs. And then below his waist, he's also covered.
Yeah.
So the only available area on this dude is his abs.
Yeah.
Now we're talking about...
Yeah, just like think of like a football player if they were only wearing their pads.
Yeah, right. Yeah, when you see a football player and they're just in practice mode and the complete like midsection is showing.
Exactly.
That's what this dude's doing, but he's not playing football. He's living in medieval times where people have swords and they're looking for ways to kill you. And this guy's like, you may as well put a target on your stomach by having no protection there. Yeah, I get it. Like the actor has great abs, but maybe that's his ploy.
So
maybe
weird.
He's practiced his entire life to bait people into attacking his midriff. And,
maybe.
And he has the countering blow to that. Too bad they never showed us that. That would have been a cool thing. Somebody asks him why the fuck he's dressed like that. And he's like, people always go for my stomach because it's exposed. And then I counter them and kill them.
Yeah.
That's too intelligent for the movie, though. I'm sorry.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. That would be great if he had the perfect stomach counter because that's where your eyes would go. He's got great abs. So your eyes go right to the abs. It's such a weird outfit. There's a lot of weird outfits in this movie. But yeah, that one is wild. You can't your eyes go there. Your eyes can't not go there. So I mean, if that's for his strategic advantage, well played.
Yeah, I like to think that. Just to help
I'd like to think
to help,
that.
Help
yeah.
the movie
yeah.
a bit here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Give it the benefit of the doubt. Well, we've talked about the tournament here. The final battle in the tournament. It's what we wanted.
Wait, before
go ahead.
Before we get to the final battle. Can we just talk about the guy who had a hammer and pulverized a man into just a puddle of blood?
That was really good. That was really good. Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah, I liked him.
Well, the guy with the big hammer, he's winning his fight and he gets a guy down on the ground and he starts smashing and smashing over and over with this huge hammer. And then he pulls up on the last one and you see kind of like some brains, maybe an eyeball on the hammer. It's like, okay, that's pretty cool. Good job there. Then they show a shot of the bot, what should be the body on the ground. They show a shot and it's just a pool of blood with like a little bit of remnants in it. Yeah. He pulverized that guy's entire body into just a pool of blood.
He did. And then who knows what happened to him in the tournament, but he didn't make it to the final.
Yeah, he lost somehow. I don't know. Maybe he lost to Pigman.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know who he lost to, but.
Wow.
Yeah, good call out. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So it's down to Deathstalker and the Gamorrean. You could see it coming, this whole movie.
Yeah.
I kind of like it because the setup is like, who's going to win to take Munkar's place? And Munkar even mentions, like, is it going to be someone who's good or is it going to be someone who's evil? And that's what we get here. We get like the ultimate good versus the somewhat ultimate evil in this final tournament battle.
Do we get the ultimate good here, Tim?
Oh, yeah. Well, in this movie. Yeah, Deathstalker.
I think it's evil versus evil.
Nah. Not in this. Nah. Depends how you look at it.
There's very few things, I think, that separate Deathstalker from Pigman.
Well, okay. In the way of if you have blonde hair and muscles, you're good. And if look like a pig and
pig,
are
you're
sweaty
bad.
And fat, you're bad. That's the good versus evil I'm going for here.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Now, a tough battle to watch, you know, tough because it sucks.
Tough,
it
tough
sucks.
One. It's there's some moves happening and they don't look as cool as I think they thought they would look.
Yeah, for sure. This is where I really noticed that the music was carrying this movie.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Because it provides such credibility to this scene that my ears thought that I was watching a good movie.
Oh, interesting.
My eyes cool. conveyed to my ears that was incorrect, but my ears were like,
wrong.
This is good.
Yeah.
So I had some fun with this scene, Dean, because...
Oh, that's good.
Well, yeah, you know what I was like? Like, I was looking for ways to have fun in this movie, and I thought I would do something fun. So after watching that fight, the final battle of the tournament, Deathstalker versus the Gamorrean, 3-minute battle, Deathstalker wins. I rewind it. I press play and I mute it. I go to YouTube and I pull up circus music. And I watch this fight go down with circus music playing. And it worked out so well. I was laughing my ass off. And I'm convinced that this movie is way better with circus music playing in the background. And beyond that, I do believe it's the missing thread that allows this movie to finally make sense is if you can watch it with that music on.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
I like that a lot, Tim. I like that.
Utterly perfect. Now, nobody will do this, but if you've seen Deathstalker and you want to try it, go to this final battle, search circus music on YouTube. This one video is called Circus Music. It's like got a tent on it, a carnival tent.
Yeah.
Cue it up, hit play. It is perfect.
I love it.
So, with Deathstalker winning the tournament, it's final battle time. And Munkar transforms into Kang to fight Deathstalker. Deathstalker stabs Kang very quickly, then uses the sword, magic sword, to touch the magic amulet. And he gets control of the magic amulet. Then he cuts Kang's head off. But that's not enough to kill Kang / Munkar, because he grabs his head and puts it back on.
He does.
I like this. This is just more of this cool sorcery stuff
that
I wasn't expecting, but I thought was really neat.
Yeah.
Munkar transports them outside of the cave that they were fighting in, and now there's a dozen Munkar. More cool stuff. Deathstalker just starts cutting all the Munkars down that he can. Meanwhile, the real Munkar is like enjoying a neon glowing beverage out of his chalice of magic.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I don't know if he should drink that, but he's enjoying it.
He's just chilling.
But Deathstalker has 2 of the 3 magic items, so he's going to be more powerful. He is able to walk through the fire that Munkar casts at him. Dean, I think I missed the scene you mentioned before where Deathstalker blows fire. Like I don't even remember seeing that, but that was
when he's in the cave.
That was probably foreshadowing to him like being in control of fire and fire not damaging him. So Munkar tries to use fire and he just walks through the fire. That was their setup that was probably impossible to catch. But Deathstalker takes the chalice from Munkar. Then Deathstalker throws Munkar to the people who are oh so ready to kill him. They just like swarm on him. And they tie him to the horses, and he gets quartered. At the same time, that Deathstalker uses the power of the items to destroy the items. And the end.
Classic. Classic.
That is classic.
Hero move at the end.
I like it.
Yeah. The problem is he's not a hero, so it's... this doesn't really fit for me with his character. He would just want all the power. He would be like, now I can just do anything I want.
I think he was so bored with this mission that he's like,
so done with
if
this.
I don't destroy these things, they're going to fall into the wrong hands again. And I'm going to have to do all this shit over again. And I don't want to do that. Yeah. I'm just going to destroy them.
He's like, if I don't destroy them, they're going to make a sequel. And right. I don't want to be in that.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Now, Dean, what do a sword, an amulet, and a chalice have in common?
What do they have in common? Is this, wait, is this a joke or a fact?
It's a question.
Okay. What do they have in common? I don't know.
The answer is absolutely nothing.
Okay. So it's a joke and a fact.
But that's what they went with in the movie.
But that's what they went with. Yeah. Cool.
Three random items. Three props. Yep. That they found at the thrift store.
Yeah, exactly. This'll work, right? Yeah, yeah, that'll work.
Yeah. Just call it magic.
Yeah, that'll definitely work.
Cool. Well, that's Deathstalker, everybody. Hope you enjoyed.
That's it.
No, there is like there's like remnants of a good movie in here. Like there's so many, like, if you stripped all the stupid stuff away, you've got like a really fun 20-minute movie, and they just threw a bunch of other stuff in, and in between all the fun, cool things that are happening, you just have to sit through this bullshit. It's so slow, and you're like, what are they doing? Why?
Yeah. The movie's like an hour and 19 minutes long, and it took forever. Yep. It was so long.
Agreed. I was like, great runtime, and when it was done, I was like, that was too long.
That was so long.
Fun to talk about, nonetheless.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
We're definitely doing number two. Then we'll see. Then we'll we'll decide.
Okay.
Right on. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. If you'd like to support us, you could check us out on Patreon. We've got a bunch of episodes over there. We're going through the James Bond franchise. We have a lot of other movies. There's a bunch of... monthly wrap-ups where we kind of go back and touch on the things that we covered that month, and we share some new information. We had a question on an episode that we answer. Those are a lot of fun, and we have some Let's Plays over there. Dean and I playing some video games, and that video games leads into that we have a YouTube channel, and it's called Demo Dash, and you should check it out if you like watching video games. We're playing video games over on YouTube. And now that this episode's over, don't worry, head on over to bfopnetwork.com and check out one of the other amazing nostalgia-based podcasts in our network. We promise you'll find something you like. And Dean, we've sort of like recently been spoiling some episodes, like been spoiling what's going to come up next week for the listeners who are sticking around. So here's what I'm going to say about that, is that I'm open to continuing to do that when I know what we're covering next week.
Right. Okay.
And the thing is, I don't always know. By the time we're recording this episode, I don't know what's coming up next week. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. So when I do, and I'll try to make a point of it, we'll share it. But as of right now, I don't know what we're doing next week.
Got nothing for you.
I got nothing for you. But I promise you it'll be a lot of fun. And Dean, thank you for joining.
Thank you, Tim.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. And we'll catch you next time.
I'm John, and I'm the host of Action Action. Every week, I'm joined by James.
Heyo.
And Dustin.
Hello.
And each week, we review, debate, and rank a different action movie.
We're creating the ultimate list of action movies.
From awful to awesome.
So if you want to hear three more white guys with beards talk about action movies,
and argue about where they belong on our list,
and decide you hate us because we've made fun of your favorite movie.
Join us every Tuesday, and you can find us on your favorite podcatcher.
And Steven Seagal is a joke.